Dave Carney, Paul Simon, Bob Ibeck, talk about a trio. Bob, I think if you, me, and Paul Simon were to hang out together, we would all find out that you have the most interesting stories. How you doing today, Bob?
I'm doing good. Survived a couple of tornado scares the other night and a lot of rain down here. I know up in La Crosse you've been getting the same way, and you keep on complimenting, sending us those things. We get them about 2 hours after you receive them, so thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome, and we figured if we're going to be sending all these Milwaukee Brewers fans down to Wrigley Field, we might as well send some weather with us, because Wrigley Field is now American Family Field of the South, which is really kind of a get back to American Family Field being considered Wrigley North for so many years. Bob, the Cubs went through a complete sell-off, and now the inevitable is happening. They are sucking wind and sucking wind bad. Last night, losing to Milwaukee 10-0, watching Corbin Burns strike out 10 consecutive batters, and Jake Arrieta, who used to be a really good pitcher, gave up 7 earned runs in the first
game. Wasn't that sad? That was it, whether you were a Brewers fan or a Cubs fan, that was sad to watch when you see a guy go downhill that far from what he was, you know, 5 years ago.
It's unbelievable. And I was on the Wisco Sports Show last evening. You joined me on Monday over there on the network. And I said, look, Jake Arrieta might get himself in such a bad way tonight, which was yesterday, that he'll just want to retire with his beard right now. I mean, just take his beard and go home. Bob, I have seen some falls from grace before. Jake Arrieta, though, is a proud baseball player. He has had a really good career. I don't know if it's a Hall of Fame career, but it's a really good career. Do you think that a guy like Jake Arrieta is going to want to really finish out the season? And if so, how does he do that, considering there is no realistic opportunity for run support or for him to win a game, and the guy is getting batted about like it's, you know, the easiest thing on earth?
Well, one thing, you know, he's getting paid. He's getting
That's
paid
true.
Decent
That'll
money.
Help.
And two, he's a pro. And, you know, I haven't really had a lot of time around Jake, but I do remember, you know, he got battered and bruised pretty good when he was in Baltimore before he came to the Cubs, and then had that tremendous couple of years there, you know, remarkable, unhittable. And, you know, sometimes, you know, things go quickly. And it brings me to mind when I first joined the Cubs for the 82 season, we had a guy that was probably on the way out, but he still could pitch a little bit. I'm talking about Hall of Famer Fergie Jenkins. And Fergie had a halfway decent year for us in 82, and then, you know, started the next year. And I'll always remember it was with sadness to watch him getting hit hard, you know, toward the end of his career. The same way I felt when Steve Carlton was getting belted around at the end of his career after he left the Phillies and went to the Cardinals and some of the other teams. He ended up with the Minnesota Twins, I think. And it's what drives these guys, in my opinion, that excel so well, is their determination and their resolve to go ahead and do whatever it takes to win. They're athletes that are just dedicated. They look straight ahead, and they keep on believing in themselves. And it was like when I watched the end of the line for Mickey Mantle or Willie Mays, you know, some of the other guys. I once asked a manager about that, and they came back with a reply of, you know, they were so good, they always think they could catch that magic in a bottle again.
Yeah,
and that's what made them good, but it also makes them a sad figure at the end of their career. And it's true. I mean, I saw Ted Williams at the end of his career in the 50s, and Ted was a pretty good ball player all the way up to the end. And same thing with Stan Musial. I mean, there was a decline, but not a drastic decline. But I think what happens with pitchers, I mean, once they lose one of their pet pitches, okay, it's over. And you could just see he was throwing BP last night. It was kind of watching the first inning there when he gave up 7 runs, and it could have been more, you know, the way the Brewers were hitting the ball. It was whether you're a Cubs fan or even a Brewers fan, you want to get the runs. But I mean, it's kind of sad to see a guy who really was at the top of his game 5-6 years ago totally go down 90%. But that's where he's at. I think he finishes up this year. I don't think anybody picks him up. I know when talking to some scouts, nobody wanted to touch him after he left Philadelphia. He got his money that he wanted in Philly. God bless him. And, you know, call it a career and know that you had a great career.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that as well. Bob Ibeck joining the program, because you do have a good career in hand. I don't think, and I don't know for sure, but I don't think it's a Hall of Fame career. I'd have to really dig into that more.
No.
But with that being the case, you know, you can rest your laurels on you did great. And it is sad, Bob, and we've seen this across multiple sports. You know, I mean, I think about, you know, somebody who you're real affectionate to, and that's Johnny Unitas, man, when he had to go play that final season.
Oh, boy. I saw the end of his career in Baltimore, and I saw the end of his career in Baltimore, and then when he still thought he could do it, and he went to San Diego with the Chargers, and it was brutal. Same thing, you know. You saw the same thing happen with Joe Namath. Okay, even though I don't compare Namath to Unitas, but Namath had a great career. A lot of these guys, it just happens. Even Montana went downhill toward the end of his career.
Well, he still made an AFC championship. Yeah. I mean, he was still okay. But you know what? Listen, the decline that we see, it's real. Father Time is still, as of yet, undefeated.
They always win.
Now, let me just throw this little Mickey Mantle factoid out here, because I caught it on this day in sports history. Didn't even mention it this morning because I didn't have enough time. But on this day in sports history, 1964, Mick actually set a major league record when he hit home runs from both sides of the plate in the same game. That, my friends, is impressive. And that's the kind of switch hitter that Mickey Mantle was. Let me ask your thoughts about one other player who I do think, because of his stats, is going to be a Hall of Famer, and that's Miguel Cabrera. Last night, Miguel Cabrera, I know he's getting old, 38, only has, 12, 13 homers on the season, but got to number 499, Bob. Now, as a former PR guy for the Cubs, I think you would probably know what the litmus test is for getting into the Hall of Fame. And for pitchers, it seems like 300 wins. For position players, it's 500 home runs. Now, we know that Cabrera is going to get to 500. That automatically puts him into the Hall of Fame, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And he's also, I think, something like 50-some-odd hits away from 3,000.
Okay, so you've got that too, yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer, and no doubt about it, although he has bounced back a little bit this year, and he's got the Tigers playing better. I think he's got close to 50 RBIs, and he's done quite well. But Cabrera, in my opinion, just for his longevity and for the numbers he's put up there, yeah. It used to be 500 home runs, you automatically were in. There's some question now whether that is, you know, the same thing. I still, as a longtime baseball guy, say 500 homers gets me in. The litmus test would have been for pitchers, the 300 wins. Everybody who's got 300 wins is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Jamie Moyer, I'll never forget this. You know, he was pitching until he was about 48, 49 years old. He ended up with 269 wins, and he was still going toward the end. And I asked my good friend Dan Schlossberg, who's an author, and I said, he gets 31 more wins, and I said, he wants to pitch a couple more years. I mean, he's been racking up 12 to 15 wins even now at age 47, 48. I said, what happens if Jamie Moyer gets to 300? Do they let him in? He says, no way. He'll be the first guy ever to get to 300 and not get in. I said, well, there's something to be said. I mean, Jim Cott's not in the Hall of Fame, and neither is Tommy John. Tommy John's got like 287 wins, and Cott's got 280-something. And in my opinion, both of those guys were Hall of Famers. But one person said to me, well, the only reason they got that many wins is they hung around, you know, 20-plus seasons to get that. I said, well, that's something that says something about
right.
it. I mean, early wins stumbled to get number 300 when he was with the White Sox. That's where he got to, 300, and that's where it ended. But, I mean, he kind of stumbled in the last year or so of his career, and he got to 300.
You know, Bob, if we go by the narrative, and this is more of an NFL thing than any other sports leagues, availability is your best ability, right? So if that's really kind of a narrative in sports, then you should be given some sort of Hall of Fame credentials for being able to play at the top of the profession for 20-plus seasons. I mean, good
God. Well, I'll say this. David, excuse me a sec. I'll say this about Tommy John. I got to jump in on this because this is a pet peeve with me. Not only did he get about 287 wins, but because he went through Tommy John surgery, I mean, that's what it's named after.
Right, right.
Look at the number of careers by doing that surgery. How many other pitchers in baseball have benefited from it? So, I mean, just this, that extra thing in my opinion, gets him in the Hall of Fame.
Well, Bob, for me, it's like this. The Hall of Fame is about the story of the game, whatever game that is. If you can't tell the story of the game without one player, then they need to be in the Hall of Fame. That's just how it has to be, okay? So even Barry Bonds, and this is where I think Major League Baseball needs to divide the Hall of Fame into, like, eras or levels or something, because if you can't tell the story of the game, like Tommy John, without him in the Hall of Fame, that shows you that the Hall of Fame is flawed, and somebody like that should be in there. Now, while we've got you this morning, and real quick, Miguel Cabrera, you were right on. 51 RBI this season, 12 jacks, 255 batting averages. OPS is really not terrible at 707. I mean, it's not great, but it's not terrible. Your Suns Rays last night saw the Boston Red Sox put up 20 runs. Now, Tampa Bay scored 7 in the ninth, still lose, 20-8. Tampa Bay and one of their players, I can't recall off the top of my head, was giving the Red Sox a little bit of grief, saying, hey, we're the best team in the American League East. And then Boston goes out and puts a 20-piece on them. Bob, you watched that game last night. Were you looking at that game and seeing a Red Sox team that was extra motivated by your son Kevin's Tampa Bay team and possibly some of the smack that was being talked prior to the game?
Well, I saw a pitcher on the mound, Josh Fleming, that didn't know where he was in the first couple innings. I mean, it was like he was throwing batting practice up there. So I think it was a combination of the Red Sox being motivated. I think it was the guy that said that was probably Brett Phillips, who, by the way, hit another grand slam.
That was it.
And Brett's always one of these guys, full of energy. I love watching him play. He had back-to-back games now. He had grand slams. He's had three this year. He's amazing. He's the Energizer Bunny on that team. Always in the dugout chattering, and he's a good guy. I've met him. He wouldn't say a bad word about anybody. He talks to the fans, rouses up his teammates. But I think last night, you know, I saw the look on Kevin Cash's face and Kyle Snyder, the pitching coach. It was like, okay, can we get at least three innings out of Fleming before he stops throwing BP? He was off. He was trying to be too fine with his pitches. And when a young pitcher like that gets off just a little bit, and they kept on hitting his slider. I mean, and his breaking ball wasn't breaking. It was a disaster. It's one of those games. I asked a friend of mine who on Facebook with you may remember Rick Reichardt, who played. He played with the Angels. Came up in the 60s and 70s. Had a nice career. In 1965, I think he was billed as the next Mickey Mantle. I mean, he had a kidney injury, and it interrupted his career, and he didn't reach those same levels, obviously. But I asked Rick, what do you do when you're in a game like that and you're getting battered around? What do you do when you go back to the hotel and you're on the road? I said, do you go out and have an extra couple beers or what? He says, no, you file it away. Because it's worse when you lose a one-run game, and then you look at yourself and you say to you, oh, I could have done this or I could have done that. Did I cause the team to lose? Those are the easiest games to forget and file away and go out the next day and play is when you get battered around. But that series has been interesting. Of course, Fenway Park, all the games that I've watched in person up there and followed over the years, that ballpark has a tendency to bring out the bizarre in baseball.
I mean, yes, it does.
You stop and look. The night before, the Rays won 12-8. So if you add those, that 20 runs up, and you throw in the 20 last night plus the 8 by Tampa Bay, mm-hmm. What do you got? 28, and the night before was 8-4. Right. It's 40 runs
in two games.
In two games by two ball clubs.
Right. See, that's the kind
So today's game will be a 1-0 game. Yeah, you watch it.
No doubt. Today's game will be a 1-0 game. Talking to Bob Ibeck here on the Stone Distribution Talking Text Line. Tampa Bay, Boston, 3:10 p.m. Drew Rasmussen getting the start there for your Tampa Bay Rays. And Tanner Hook is going to get the start there for the Red Sox. Milwaukee Brewers and Chicago Cubs baseball back on WKTY at 1:20, we'll get a chance to see Brandon Woodruff go up against the only pitcher that's, well, good still on the Chicago Cubs, and that is Kyle Hendricks, who has won his last 11 straight decisions. So there you go. Now, Bob, you and I were spending some time this week on the Wisco Sports Show, where I'm filling in for Grant Bills the entire week, tonight, tomorrow as well. And we were talking about some independent league baseball, how your son Kevin, who is the pro scouting director for the Tampa Bay Rays, essentially number two in command to Kevin Cash, had bristled at some of the independent league guys because when he was a kid and when he was coming up, you owned an independent league team in Texas. But Bob, there was a story that we didn't actually get to on Monday on the Wisco Sports Show that we have been really looking forward to hearing from you. So if you could, as you are known to do, regale us with something that is, first of all, unique, and second of all, awesome, as you are our resident raconteur.
Well, this is unique, and it occurred in the early 2000s. Kevin was at that time. He was actually with the player development department with the Baltimore Orioles. And I remember they wanted to go ahead and have him occasionally go out and scout independent league ball. Well, Kevin knew that Dad was the part owner of the Continental Baseball League. We had eight franchises in Texas, in Louisiana, and New Mexico. And he used to laugh. He says, Dad, nobody in that league will ever get to the major leagues. He said, all these guys, he says, we don't even look at independent league ballplayers, which nowadays is not true because a lot of guys are coming out there and getting a shot.
Yeah.
So I had a chuckle the other day when I had to think about that, and I brought it up to him in a conversation. I said, well, you know, you got two guys out of the independent leagues on your Rays team, so I don't want to throw it in your face. But it reminded me of a kid who came out of Mississippi, and he wrote to us and wanted to try out with our team in Texarkana, the Texarkana Gunslingers. What an outfit that was. And for 13 games, former Cub pitcher Steve Trout was the manager of that team before he got fired. He had a 1-12 record, by the way, but he did get the one win. And so this guy shows up. I said, all right. I felt sorry for the kid. I said, come on up. Take some BP. We'll see what you got. He wrote me a letter. Well, he arrives in a little old broken-down Volkswagen. And I swear to you, all four tires were bald. He gets out of there. His blue jeans were torn around the kneecap. He had baseball cleats that looked like they could have been used back when Ty Cobb was around, okay? He had a wooden bat that had a nail in it because it was broken, but he nailed it so he could still use it. And he walks out and he says, hi, I can't remember his name now.
Jake Taylor, by the way. I've just got to let you know, his name is Jake Taylor, as played by Tom Berenger. That's exactly who you're talking about here, Bob. I'm like, as you're saying this, I'm like, that's Jake Taylor. That's exactly who that is.
Well, he walks out and he says, I'm here. He introduced himself. And I said, son, we got to get you into a uniform, because he was going to go out in his blue jeans and take batting practice.
Oh, gosh.
And the manager of the team was kind of laughing. He says, you want me to throw BP to this kid? I said, listen, he drove here all the way from Mississippi. And I said, we got to at least give him a tryout. So we got him into a uniform. We gave him some spikes. We gave him a bat that didn't have a nail in it. Anyway, it goes in the batting cage. So Ron Barron, my assistant in the league, we're standing behind the batting cage. And I said to Ron, I said, this ought to be real interesting. I said, this kid, I hated to see it because his sadness in his eyes if he doesn't, you know, do well. But I said, I don't see this any having a happy ending. So the pitcher is starting to throw BP. It's the manager of the team. And he's throwing in probably about 70 miles an hour, okay? And this kid is fouling off into the cage. He's dribbling a couple around. And finally, the kid stops and hold on a second. I said, he says, will you throw me a decent fastball? I want to see some heat. Well, this pitcher, I'm not going to mention his name, had been in the major leagues. He says, he looked at him, he says, son, I'm going to throw you some heat. Get back in there. So he winds up and he throws a fastball in. Had to be in the mid-90s. This kid swings, hits it over the center field wall.
Wow.
So now the pitcher throws some. He says, all right, let me throw some more. I would say the next 15 pitches, he hit 12 over the fence.
Really?
Left field, right field, center field. And I'm looking at my Ron Barron, my assistant, and I said, Ronnie, we got to get this guy to a contract. Well, we got a contract out of our folder and had him sign when he left the batting cage. Now,
that's awesome.
Now, he plays for that team that year, makes the league all-star, okay? I called my good friend Ned Colletti, who at the time was the Dodgers general manager. Ned was my assistant with the Cubs. I said, Ned, you got to get one of your scouts out here. I said, I got a kid that not only can hit the ball over the fence, he runs like, and he's a deer. He catches the ball in center field. You're going to want to sign this kid. I said, we'll let you sign him for $1,000. I mean, we're not going to ask a lot of money. We'll release him, okay?
Right.
Dodger scout comes there, and he's watching him, and he's ready to sign the contract. I mean, this kid's hitting the ball over the ballpark. And then I have to go ahead and get the kid. I said, now, okay, here's how you go ahead, sign this, we'll release you, you got to get everything. And he says, what about my age? I said, well, you told me you were like 22. He said, well, I'm really 26.
Oh,
and he said, so the Dodgers, the Dodgers backed out of it because their scout said, listen, I got a job to keep here with the L.A. Dodgers.
Yeah.
And if I sign some unproven kid and send him to our Winter Baseball League out in Arizona, and he's 26 years old, and he doesn't make it, it'll be a stain on my reputation. He says, I can't do this. So we couldn't sign the poor kid, and he played the rest of the season with Texarkana. Ended up hitting about .380.
Wow.
And did everything he was going to do, but that was the end of the line. But it goes to show you, you just never know a kid, if you give him a chance, what he can do. I wish I had lied and told the guy, you know, he was 22 years old. That did him in. Only the age did him in.
Well, Bob, you know, you're a good guy, and you're one of those that wouldn't want to set your friend up, because that stuff would get figured out,
yeah,
right? At
yep,
some point yep. in time, it gets figured out, and your reputation is better than that. But I understand your visceral feeling for wanting to see him get signed, because these are the kinds of stories in sports. It's not just baseball, but in sports that oftentimes get overlooked. And we think that we have all seen the very best of the best of the best, you know, because they've played in the pros. That's not always the case. I mean, some of the best basketball, football, baseball players of all time haven't made it to the majors for one reason or another. And I think about one of my favorite baseball movies of all time, The Natural. And that was kind of the narrative behind that, too, right? It was that, you know,
oh, yeah.
you just never really
yep.
got that particular shot. Nobody ever saw you. They didn't know you could play. And here you are. You're too old. But, man, you've got some talent.
Well, that's what it all comes down to, you know. And I like the fact that independent league ball is now becoming more popular. The scouts are out there looking at independent league players. And so, if you're looking for somebody that can fill in, I mean, you're not going to miss too many. But once in a while, you'll catch somebody that can be a piece of your 25-man roster and help you get through. And I know the Rays have used three or four independent league guys over the last 2 years, and they have filled in very nicely. Anderson, their relief pitcher, who they're hoping to get back, had a heck of a year. They wouldn't get to the World Series last year without Eric. And I believe that he's been on the DL all year long with COVID, and then he had an arm injury in spring training, but they're waiting for him to come back. And I still think if he comes back and does anywhere near what he did last year, that'll really help the Rays down the end.
Well, if the Rays are ever looking for somebody to strike out 10 consecutive times like Corbin Burns made the Cubs do last night, you just go ahead and give them my number, because I'll play the Jose Altuve strikeout guy. I'll be small. I'll strike at every single time, guaranteed. Bob, this has been a lot of fun. I'm so glad that we got a chance to hear that story. I know we wanted to talk about that Monday on the Wisco Sports Show. We just ran up against it and didn't have that time. So thank you very much for this. Now, before I let you off the hook, we've only got about a minute left, but I wanted to ask you, are there any Peyton Manning Hall of Fame 15x17 framed photo collages left? Because you had 2021 of his Colts uniform and 2021 Broncos uniform ones made. NycoSports.com is the place to get them, but they were selling out really fast. And last time we talked, you were down to just a handful.
Yes, we've got about 200 left of the Indianapolis version, okay? And we've got about 150 of the Denver Broncos left. And these, if you haven't already taken advantage of this, it's going to benefit the Peyton Manning's Children's Hospital around the country. So you're doing a good thing there. Only $99. Everyone is individually numbered, and these are authentic. They're, like you said, 15x17-inch photo collages, have action shots of him, whether it's in an Indianapolis uniform or a Denver Bronco uniform. You're going to want to get these because, I mean, he's one of the, in my opinion, one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
No question.
Here's how you can order it. We got a toll-free number, 1-800-345-2868, 1-800-345-2868. Jump on it or go right to the website, NycoSports.com. You spell it NycoSports.com. I guarantee you, you put this up in your home or office, and people will walk in and say, wow, where did you get that Peyton Manning piece of sports memorabilia? And it's also go to appreciate over here. It's like printing money.
Well, it really is. And, Bob, sports memorabilia for many years had started to decline in overall value. That is really turned on its head now because of the exclusive licensure that some of these particular pieces get. Now, the NycoSports.com stuff and everything from Nyco Sports will never be found in stores. It won't be found online any other place. It's only through Nyco Sports. And again, every one of these pieces goes to benefit a great cause. In this particular case, the Peyton Manning's Children's Hospitals across the country. Bob, as always, thank you so much for everything. You and I, I'm sure, will be talking over the weekend. But until next week, for all of our audience, thank you so much. It's been awesome having you on, and we'll look forward to having you back next Thursday.
Well, I appreciate it. Next Thursday, we've got to be talking about the Field of Dreams game. I'm looking forward to seeing the Yankees and the White Sox play on national TV tonight.
Yeah, I was actually having fun watching the highlights of those kids last night. As I think I told my last guest, Frank Thomas just put in that NuGenix to all of their sports drinks. And he's like, nobody's testing you, kiddos. Go out there and hit some home runs. And they did, Bob. They did.
I don't want to see you disappear into the weeds and the cornfield in the back of that. Okay, I've got this vision of David Carney going out, going deep, going back on a fly ball, and we don't see you for a while.
No, I won't do that because I'm afraid of shoeless Joe Jackson. I don't care what anybody says. He was exonerated my ass. He's still a criminal. I'm kidding. Bob, thank you so much. Appreciate you as always. We'll talk real soon, buddy.
Have a good day.
All right. See ya. Bob Ibeck, just a fun, fun guest. And thank you all so very much for giving me your messages here on the Stone Distribution Talk and Text Line while we've been chatting with Bob. And I know how much a lot of you really enjoy listening to Mr. Ibeck. If you've not been able to listen to the full interview, please do subscribe to my Overtime podcast. You'll get a chance to hear Bob, Joe DeGuano, and John Denton in today's Best Of. Scott Robert Shaw, WIZM Newsroom. I'll come back with some more great stuff on the award-winning WKTY Morning Show.
Now, the area's largest radio